Welcome to Sports Day with Badge and Sats. Two footy legends covering all things sport for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed.
Yeah, welcome to Sports Day. You're right over there, mate. Just
phone etiquette.
Unbelievable. Every time. Welcome to Sports Day, by the way. It's Badge and Sats. Woogie here on a Thursday night. Every time, Badge. Every time.
But there's no off button for the microphones. That's the thing. They're always on.
Sats, when we start talking, that's when you don't go like with the microphone.
You finished?
Yeah, you? Welcome to the show, guys. Sats and Jace here in the studio. And, of course, Badge in his home studio again tonight. What about, we're up to Q. I can't think of any players starting with Q. What about you, Badge?
There's plenty.
Quincy, Q, Snar. There is, well, I don't know if there's plenty, Sats, but I'll tell you who I've got, one of your all-time favourites, Anthony Quinn, non-storm winger.
Newcastle.
New South Wales and yeah. Newcastle. Yeah,
he always had the ability to get under your skin. I don't know how, he just...
Did you play against him?
Yeah. He just had this niggling away about him that just used to just... Oh, no, just to get under your skin. He was a very tough player to tackle. He's only short, low
nuggety.
To the ground and nuggety. He's really tough to tackle.
What?
Yeah. A little bit like Brian Toto.
I can't think of a lot of Quinns. I mean, Q's.
I can think
of a lot of Quinns.
Medicine Woman.
Actually, there was. There was Graham Quinn.
There you go.
Who played in... He played for... Who did he play for? St. George.
He did, yeah. Premiership winning side, didn't he?
And Queensland in Origin. Mm. He was actually picked in the first Origin game from memory. Had to pull out injured. End up playing in 81 or 82 for Queensland.
Okay.
But apart from that, we need a bit of help here.
All right.
0477 736 736.
Hey, big
who are
show.
Q's?
Big show tonight. And I mean big. This is probably the biggest we've done this year. We'll
really?
Kick it off with the GOATs, Cameron Smith, my good friend, the GOAT, joining us on the show.
What are you calling the tonight? GOAT all the time for?
Because he is the greatest. Name.
He
it's
does know my.
You,
I'm his
you
executive
hated him this time. This time last year, he was your. You hated everything.
You know what he calls you? I've heard him. He goes, "G'day, champ." That means he doesn't know your name.
That's not true.
G'day, champ.
That's not, no, I haven't. He throws his car keys at me and says, "Park this." That's what he said. Now, of course, I'm his executive producer on the Captain's Run. We're very close, and he's agreed to come on the show tonight.
You're his what?
You're his
panel operator.
I am not. What about another SAS participant? And I keep forgetting he's on this show.
Mm.
But one of Australia's greatest performers and went to school with Sats, Pete Murray, is joining us. Well done,
gentlemen.
Sats.
Well done, the pair of you.
Good guy.
Organising these two.
Amazing athlete at school. Amazing athlete.
Was he really?
Track and field. Yeah, rugby union player as well. He's a first 15 player, year 11 and year 12. And he was just, he was at one stage there, guys, he was actually positioned to be part of the Australian Sevens. They used to go to the Hong Kong Sevens every
rugby.
Year.
Really?
Yeah, rugby. And, was nearly qualified for the Commonwealth Games.
This is his new song, by the way. It's coming out tomorrow.
Yeah. Didn't pick up a guitar until after I left school. Didn't know what an instrument looked like.
Well, he did. Gee. He just didn't pick
one. He didn't
one
do
up.
Music at school.
It's a nice song. We'll talk to Pete Murray. So we've got the GOAT.
Cool.
The guitarist and the king.
The soldier.
Mm.
We got a the GOAT, a soldier. Well, he's in SAS.
Yep.
And we've a got king.
And a king joining us. Not Wally.
Yep.
It's Matt King, assistant coach at the Roosters, obviously played for Melbourne, New South Wales, South Australian player as well. Has he still got the funny hair, the big hair, I should say?
No, not as big as what it used to.
Right. He's on the mean streets of Noosa with the Roosters.
I don't know how he survives.
I don't know either.
The Noosters, we're calling them. I don't think they're in Noosa. No, they're
on the sunny coast somewhere. But they'd
be Melbourne Storm's in Noosa.
They'd be getting up there.
You go to Noosa if you're just in the finals. You're staying, maybe Budrum, Coolum.
Oh, don't knock Coolum, mate. It's one of my favourite spots.
Spot.
It's a great spot. I wonder if he's wearing white linen pants and drinking turmeric coffees.
Yeah.
Definitely the linen.
I reckon it's either that or the Roosters and Nick Politis. They've actually bought a huge herd of goats.
They're milking.
And they're just milking. The players are just milking goats all day just for their...
Fitness.
The milk for their caffeine.
Every
Thursday. That's what you want to call it. You're away from home, Sats.
Anyway, moving on. We also pick a song each to finish the show on a Thursday night. Badge, I don't know what you've been up to. I haven't even heard of this song.
What?
What is this?
You've been, you've been on the Susie Wongs again.
Are you serious? Are you serious?
I'm the Sunny Boys. Serious. Never heard of this song.
Oh, the Sunny Boys are a great
Have you ever
group.
Heard of Sunny Boys?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Groggy.
I have, but not this.
What's Why happy man, line? Badge? Are you just happy you first at the moment or not?
The first line of that song, Tess?
What's it say?
Sitting here. No.
Got to hang out. What's that, hanging out, Badge?
What is
sitting
hanging
here,
out of your pajama
sitting here
bottoms right
in
now?
My room.
Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There you go. I love that song. It's unreal.
You haven't been
I want everyone to be happy.
You haven't been cutting the hose again, have you, Badge?
You've got a funny story about that.
This is sad.
There's all the fans out there, they're praying their team gets through this weekend.
Predictable again.
See, I've got a theme. You guys, you're just plucking them out of it.
Is that Kylie
air.
Minogue or someone? Who's singing that?
Better hair than Kylie, didn't they? Bon Jovi.
Who? Oh, yeah.
What's your theme? Well, who's living on it? You're going to church.
Fans are praying that their teams get through this weekend. They're living on a prayer.
Anyone who votes for Bon Jovi over Sonny Boys, please.
Tested. Yep. Mine is tonight is for one of our guests, Pete Murray, and my gorgeous wife.
What have they got going?
No, not them. I'm dedicating this to Pete Murray because he's on the show tonight. I think we should finish the show with a classic Pete Murray song. Stop. Plus, I'd like to dedicate this to my wife.
Oh, right.
How nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
All our female listeners right
now.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. All our female listeners right now be going, God, he's hot. Dedicating that to his wife.
Space cadet. Massive space cadet.
Who, my wife?
Well...
0477
What?
736 736. Which song should we end the show with tonight? Quickly, boys. I've only got time for one story because the GOAT is standing by. NRL to host the Dally M's over two nights. What?
Yeah, it's a week apart. So first night on Monday, 20th of September, the upcoming Monday. And that'll crown all the award winners, the coaches, the players in their positions, the Norm Proven Summons Medal. And then the
I
week
they were
later,
just doing the wingers first and get them out of the way.
Get them out of the way. They shouldn't be in the same room as the rest of the players. And so the following week is about it's about all the rounds and obviously all the points to go with those rounds and crown the Dally M winner the week later. I like it. I like it.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you think, listeners? 0477 736 736. Just knock it over in the one night. No one watches anyway. Who cares?
No, that's you. You're part of the minority.
I've got other stuff to do, mate.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit there and watch some bloke in a penguin suit get an award. Who cares?
You don't mind the kids while your wife goes out with Pete.
Don't do that now. Mm. I feel like I need to run home and see if she is with Pete. 0477 736 736. Hey, we better go to a break. This is Sports Day. Thanks to the new Kia Niro electric SUV range. It has landed. The GOAT, Cam Smith, joins us next.
You're listening to Sports Day. Have your say by dropping Badge and Sats a text. 0477 736 736. That's 0477 736 736. This is Sports Day. We'll be right back.
Now, I tell you what, as a Blues supporter, I didn't like him.
He's like Wally Lewis. Wally Lewis hates being called the King. But apparently he loves being called the GOAT.
I think he loves it deep down. Yeah, yeah.
Of course, he's on the captain's run every week, which is finally produced by yours truly. And I tell you what, out of all the work I do here, it's the show I love working on the most, better than working with you two bums. Cameron Smith, hello, mate. Welcome to Sports Day.
How are we going, guys?
We're going all right.
Really well.
We're just going to leave you and Woogie to have a chat.
Well, he doesn't know me as Woogie, mate. It's only you two idiots who call me Woogie.
He knows you as Hey You.
Badge. Well done, Badge. Now I've got a name for Jace. Woogie. Well done.
It suits him, doesn't
Thank
it?
Thank you. Woogie.
Can we just get clear a few things up, first of all? Can you apologise for touching Sats's pen? Can you apologise for ripping a page out of his book that he uses to write stuff in? Because I am sick of hearing this crap every day.
Can you apologise for stealing my jersey in 2003
game three?
Well, I think, boys, I think we've established the pen usage and the borrowing of a page out of Sats's notebook. It all represents what he's really still filthy about, and that was the Queensland jersey. So I look, Sats, I wholeheartedly apologise for that, mate. I'm very sorry.
He would have played the next 30 Origins, Cam. It's not one jersey, he said. He would have been there for another 10 years.
You got to take it up with Wayne.
Yeah.
That was Wayne's decision.
Don't worry, I've taken it up with Wayne.
That apology was going so well. That apology was going so well till Badge jumped in and
Cameron
put more fuel on the fire. Yeah, I know.
The referee's never heard that.
Oh.
Yeah. Hey, Cam, firstly, I mean, I know you're getting asked a lot about who's going to win the grand final this year and who's going to play well this week, but your first year out not playing in finals, how are you feeling? You get a little bit itchy or you're feeling okay?
I'm feeling okay, like on the most part, to be fair, Sats. I was on the sideline commentary when the Storm played their first game, and there's probably moments in the game where you thought, oh, you know, I'd love to be out there now playing in this type of footy. But mate, on the whole, I've actually enjoyed not playing in the competition this year and just sitting back and watching it as a spectator and just probably looking at the game from a different sort of angle than what I have in the past 20 years. But I guess as the grand final gets a little bit closer, particularly heading into next week when, you know, the Melbourne Storm will be playing in a prelim, they are the big, big matches.
Yeah.
I know this week it's elimination finals and whatnot, and we had two last week. The prelims and the grand finals, they're the really big weekends that you want to be a part of.
Did you love the week off?
I did, mate. And there's always this sort of conversation around, is a week off better or would you prefer to keep going through? I'd take the week off, hands down, in front of, you know, wanting to play on and try to, you know, people talk about, you know, trying to keep the consistency going. Well, you're opening yourself up to an opportunity of getting beaten and not going through to a prelim. I'd take the guaranteed prelim opportunity over having to play through every day of the week.
Kev, did you go to that the Storm Manly game? Well, I think you were heading up there, weren't you, last weekend?
Yeah, I was on the sideline. Yep, I was actually working that game. I was doing commentary there. So look, it was a really impressive performance by Melbourne. I don't know if Manly actually turned up in the right frame of mind. And you guys have both been involved in, you know, big matches and finals footy. It's a step up, isn't it? Like from your regular season games. And although they had a really big win against the Cowboys the week before, you know, when you're facing a Melbourne Storm side, it's a completely different prospect to playing against the Cowboys, whose season was done. They were playing in their last game. They were probably looking forward to just getting the season over and done with. But, I was sidelined, so I was ground level. I was, you know, watching the energy of the players and, you know, the talk of both teams. And Melbourne just seemed so much more vocal and energetic. And you could see that by their actions on the field. One small error, boys, like in the first 3 minutes from Manly, all of a sudden you got the cheese, Brandon Smith pouncing on a loose ball, fends off two players, passes the ball to Isaac Lumi-Lumi, and all of a sudden Melbourne Storm were up 6-0 and just never really looked back.
But what about you on the sideline? Did you notice Josh Adokar, who was a ball boy, and they actually took the duties off him at halftime? We haven't spoken about this one. He was going crazy, wasn't he?
Well, he was, and like he's that type of player. Like everyone that's watched Josh play, like he's very energetic type of guy and quite vocal. That's part of his role as the winger of that football side. You know, to, you know, continually talk to the men inside him. But he, when I seen him given the duties of being the ball boy and he was up and down the sideline, I was actually a little bit fearful because the sideline mics were picking up what he was saying, and he was carrying on big time with what he was trying to yell out to the boys out in the middle of the field. But I think Frank Panisi took the duties off him and said, mate, just have a seat for the second half, mate. I don't think we need that.
Now, what's the week off? What's the next 2 weeks look like? From a Storm perspective, when they have this week off, what does Craig focus on?
Well, I think, you know, if he looked back on, you know, certainly the game from Manly, where I thought it was just a great team performance, there wasn't really you know, one play that stood out amongst the rest, which shows, you know, how well they did play as a unit. But I think he'd probably still trace back to the previous, you know, month of football leading into those finals and just try to really make sure that they're on top of all the small things in their game. Of course, the guys that may have picked up a couple of little niggly injuries out of that first finals match, he'd give them an opportunity, maybe an extra day or two to rest up and get themselves physically in good shape. But to be fair, boys, all the guys that are fit and raring to go, he would have put them through their paces this week. There's no doubt about that, because he's always been a coach that, you know, he's never given players the opportunity to feel as though the week off is like a holiday, and really just to switch off mentally or physically. He tries to keep the preparation as close as he can to as if they were playing. So I reckon they would have had a pretty sort of solid couple of sessions throughout this week. Maybe I reckon he may even try and replicate one either tomorrow or Saturday. You know, less of course like the full on contact, but certainly, you know, the running aspect and the intensity of the session will certainly be there. You know, just so you know, the boxes are continuing to be ticked in preparation for whoever they're going to be playing next weekend.
Yeah, well, you know, as we said, whoever they're going to be playing, Panthers and Eels, that Woogie suggests that you don't think the Eels are much chance at all. I thought the way that Mitch Moses played last week has put them right back in the frame. And if he can repeat that, they're a dead set chance against the Panthers. What do you reckon?
Yeah, well, that's the challenge, Badge, eh? Like for Paro and particularly Mitch, is what we've come to be accustomed to with Paro is that, you know, they can show that they're as good as any team in the competition for 1 or 2 weeks, but then all of a sudden, when their best performance or you know, a good performance is needed, they just don't show up. So you know, that's the big challenge for Parramatta this week, is that it is crunch time for them against a side that many have regarded as, you know, the best team in the competition over the last, you know, 2 years, or at least, you know, in the top two. You know, and it's a huge occasion for Mitch and the rest of the Parramatta side, because they promised their fans so much over the, you know, the last handful of years, where, you know, they start the year well, they put themselves in a really good position, they fall away a bit, and then they're in the finals again, and they just, I don't know, they haven't been able to make a click at the right time. So, you know, if they are able to get things right and play their best footy, then absolutely they're in for a chance. I just feel as though Penrith are a much more rounded football side, and that if they turn up and play the way that, you know, they've shown they can play over the last two seasons, I think that will be too good for Parramatta.
Smithy, tell the boys what you think about South. You rate them, don't you?
About the Bunnies?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, look, I was really impressed with the way they played on last week. You know, to come out and play the way they did and to get a victory against Penrith, who I think as soon as Luttrell was suspended, you know, many people just went, oh, well, they just put a line through the Rabbitohs and said, well, their season's over. Whereas, you know, the great coach, Wayne Bennett, he wove his magic again. He took all the spotlight and all the pressure off his players, particularly their young fullback, you know, in the lead up to that match, because there was a lot of pressure on him. You know, people were talking about, you know, Nathan Cleary, and he's just going to bomb him all night and make him come up with a heap of errors. But, you know, Wayne, he started his little dispute with Ivan, and it just, in the lead up, wasn't it, fellas? Like, the talk was just about the two coaches. It wasn't about the football teams and what was at stake. You know, what was at stake was a week off and a pass through to the prelim. So he just took all the pressure away from his football side, and they went out and played really well and I guess stunned a lot of people, including Penrith. So now they're sitting pretty. They've had the week off, you know, and they've put themselves one match away from a grand final. It's funny, because when they went on that run until their run ended, I think after maybe 10 consecutive victories, I actually said to a few people down here on the Gold Coast when they were asking about my opinion on who's going to go through, I actually mentioned the Bunnies. I said, mate, I actually feel as though it's going to be a Melbourne Rabbitohs grand final.
Mm.
I wish I put a little bit of money on it now because it was paying a bomb, I think, for those two teams to make it. I think at the time it was sort of everyone was just thinking, it's Penrith and Melbourne. That's really the only two teams in it. But look, they're in a wonderful position now because now, you know, they meet the winner of Manly and the Roosters. And I just don't know if those two teams can sort of go all the way from the position where they started in this final series.
Cam, I've got some concerns about Penrith, and of course I've got an emotional attachment to it, and it's surrounding.
Yeah, of course, mate.
They're a tremendous side, we know that. The concern I've got is that they rely too much on Nathan and how he's playing and how that bleeds off to the rest of the side, and it's time for others to own those moments in games. Do you agree?
Yeah, I absolutely agree, mate. And I spoke on my show in the middle of the season, actually, and it was when Nathan was injured. And the thing that it's like a double-edged sword for Penrith, I feel, is that they've built a game plan, and the way that Nathan has been coached into the style that he plays is that it's very, very effective when he's there and when he's playing well. But if things don't go to plan for Nathan, or if he's not playing, if something was to happen to him, like we've seen throughout the year, it's like the whole game plan goes out the window and they look lost.
Mm.
They just look lost. I'm not saying that's the wrong thing to do. Like they've certainly built a game plan and this structure around him that seems to consistently work, and it works extremely well. Don't get me wrong, but if the game plan doesn't go the way that they've planned throughout the week, then it's almost like they don't have a plan B or a plan C. And you know, the good sides have that. The great players have that. You know, you guys would have played alongside many of those players that, you know, if something doesn't go the way that you wanted it to, then they just switch to the second plan and go off that. But I don't know. I just don't think it that. They have that, or they're at that stage yet. Penrith, you got to remember they're quite a young side, and they do have some young superstars, but there's not a lot of experience in that football team. The other thing, Sats, that concerns me about Penrith is that if you look at their games they've played over the last two seasons and the results that they've had, the positive results, they've always got away to good starts, and they've always had scoreboard pressure on the opposition. Now, I feel as though that any time that they get behind on the scoreboard, they just panic, because they've very rarely been in that position over the past 2 years when they've had a lot of success. So if Parramatta can start really well this week and maybe score, you know, a try or two, or maybe a try and another penalty goal, all of a sudden, you know, those young Penrith players, they'll be looking at the scoreboard thinking, geez, we're in trouble here. We're not accustomed to playing from behind.
The amazing thing to come out of that is that you and Sats actually agree on something, Cam.
Yeah.
That's what I got out of that.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
First time.
That's good. I'm happy.
I'm the one. I'm happy as well. I think we're all happy about that as well. So it's good stuff. All right, Cam, we're going to let you go, mate. Thanks for joining us on Sports Day. It's been great listening to your show and being part of your show as well. It's called The Captain's Run. You can listen to it on Wednesdays at lunchtime and also pick up the podcast on that as well. Smitty, thanks for your time on Sports Day.
Hey, Sats, Badge, thanks, boys, and Woogie.
See you next week, mate. Oh, you're beauty. There you go. Queensland assistant origin coach 2022.
Oh, don't start. Thanks for that, Badge. This is Sports Day. Thanks to the new Kia and era. No, it's not good. That was my century. That was where I was respected until now.
Sanctuary?
Well, yeah, that'll do.
Yes. Yeah.
This is Sports Day, the new Kia Niro electric SUV range.
You love that nickname.
Yeah, right. I do. No, I do. I think I'm lucky, very lucky. Let's get to a break.
You're listening to Sports Day. Have your say by dropping Badge and Sats a text. 0477 736 736. That's 0477 736 736. This is Sports Day. We'll be right back. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats. For Kia, the new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. On Sports Day, time for a Racing Queensland update. Queensland is your place to race this year.
Yeah, a little bit of a different week in Racing Queensland at the moment because we have a meeting tomorrow in Brisbane and then the feature meeting on the Gold Coast on Saturday. Is that right, Chris Nelson?
That is 100% right, Jace, which is great. It's like a long weekend of racing with Eagle Farm tomorrow, and it's a midweek metro meeting tomorrow, so it's a meeting that's got good quality fields, so no issues there. So Eagle Farm tomorrow, good fields, and of course the big day on Saturday at the Gold Coast, Pink Ribbon Cup Day. Get behind that. And we've also got tab meetings at Dalby, at Mackay, nothing at Toowoomba because they're having the week off in preparation for the big Wheatwood Day next Saturday, and the Sunshine Coast, of course, races on Sunday. And keep in mind, Jace, next Friday night is the first night race meeting of the new season at the Sunshine Coast.
Gee, it's come around quick, hasn't it? Absolutely flown around.
Yeah, and I think there'll be roughly a meeting every 2 weeks on Friday night at the Sunshine Coast.
So you know, I love that. I absolutely love that.
So do I.
I think it's fantastic. But they still have the meeting on the Sunday too, don't they?
Not every week, right. But still most weeks.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Okay. All right, mate, let's focus on the Pink Ribbon race day on the Gold Coast on Saturday. You got some tips for us?
Well, there's a couple of shorties. I won't tip those, but they'll win. So if you're looking for multi-legs, then race 6, number 2, We Own a Smart One, and race 7, number 4, Miami Flies, should both win.
Ah, oh, Miami Flies.
Too short for the average Joe. Yeah, too short for the average Joe. So race 4, number 2, Sugar Boom. Now, the Tony Gollan stablemates here, Sugar Boom and The Move. The Move is clearly the favourite, and I think this market will turn around. Maybe not completely, but I cannot see why Sugar Boom is such a big price. Well over $4. Sugar Boom, very, very quick. There's no opposition early. Should lead, get into a beautiful rhythm, has trialled well. She loves the Gold Coast 900. She loves a firm track, and she's going to get all of that. The Move would have to run one hell of a quick sectional to run her down. So race 4, number 2, Sugar Boom, I think is way over the odds. So we'll go with that.
Mm-hmm.
Race 8, number 2, More Than Number 1. Have a look at the video of it winning an easier race last time out, and you will not back anything to beat it. Very, very impressive win, race 8, number 2. And race 9, number 2, Run for Glory. Another one for the Gollan stable. Got beaten by Ballistic Boy first up. Of course, that horse has come out and won again last Saturday. Run for Glory looks well placed with the claim for Leah Kilner. So it looks a good punting day. I think we'll go with those three as our three best.
All right. And you've got those other couple of short price favourites as well. So lots going on there. Gamble responsibly, of course. Queensland is racing. The action continues this week across the Sunshine State. Visit racingqueensland.com.au. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, Jase.
Sports Day news headlines for Polaris, Australia's number one off-road vehicle brand.
Yeah, let's get stuck into our news headlines. Australia will build at least 8 nuclear-powered submarines under a historic new military alliance with the US and Britain, dumping the troubled $90 billion future submarine deal with France.
God.
Ooh.
We've upset the French, boys.
Mm. And China. Everyone.
That's right. Hey, but this is great news for Australia. And I just want to highlight the thing that all the journos are going off about today, that Biden apparently forgot ScoMo's name.
I want to thank that fellow down under. Thank you very much, pal. Appreciate it, Mr. Prime Minister.
That's nice, right? That was a term of endearment.
I think
it's
you're
like,
right.
Good on you, mate.
If you put it into context and see the rest of it, then he turned around to his monitor and called him Prime Minister, you know, Scott Morrison and stuff like that. But it's just like saying, old mate down there on the TV, well done, buddy.
I like Joe Biden.
Yeah, I remember everyone. He's 105 years old.
Yeah, he's in bed now, by the way, Joe. He went to bed about 4:30 after dinner. One new case in home quarantine in Queensland at the moment. Good news, 1,351 cases in New South Wales, 12 deaths. And Lismore and Albury have been issued with stay-at-home orders for 7 days. That kicked in at 6 o'clock tonight. So those towns now in a bit of lockdown.
Getting close to the border.
Get range of confidence for the price of a quad. Visit your local Polaris dealer today. This is Sports Day for the new Kia Niro electric SUV range. It has landed. When we come back, we will catch up with Roosters assistant Matt King.
You're listening to Sports Day. Have your say by dropping Badge and Sats a text. 0477 736 736. That's 0477 736 736. This is Sports Day. We'll be right back. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats. For Kia, the new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Gee, it's been a bumper Thursday night. We've had the GOAT, the singer, and now the coach, the assistant coach for the Roosters. Former Storm legend.
The GOAT, the King, the GOAT.
Right. Oh, the singer and the King.
Yeah.
I like that. Oh, I like that indeed. We're crossing now to the mean streets of Noosa, where they've nearly run out of turmeric because the Roosters are in town. Matt King, assistant coach with the Roosters. Hello. Welcome to Sports Day.
G'day, boys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, King. Yeah, thanks for taking time out to talk to us before such a big game tomorrow night against Manly in Mackay. And how's it all been? How's the bubble been? Unlike New Zealand Warriors and Melbourne, they're used to it. But how's it been for the Roosters?
Yeah, it's been really great, actually. So the vast majority of players and staff got to bring their families up after a period of time, which was awesome. But we sort of, you know, my time at Melbourne, you know, we'd travel every second week and that time away was great. But then obviously being in Sydney, you don't get too many opportunities to be together for long periods. And obviously this is an exceptional time frame, but we've absolutely loved it. So the people here at Twin Waters Novotel Resort have been great to us, and everything's here, our gym, the field, our food, the beach, everything's here. So it's been great, actually. As I said, the majority, so some of our players and stuff, their families had to stay behind, which is a bit of a bummer. But from a pure footy point of view, it's heaven. It's great.
Now, I know we read that a lot of the players in the NRL and coaches got their cars towed up to where they were staying. Now, you're famous for your combi when you're at South Sydney. Have you still got that combi, and was that towed up to Noosa?
No, I sold it. I sold the combi, so I... my family and I moved to Coogee, which is a great spot. But as most people would know, in Coogee, there's not much space. So the house we bought didn't actually have a garage, so it was out in the street, and the salt air was killing the old beast. So I actually got rid of it. But it was my pride and joy. It was like watching one of the kids go off leaving home for the first time, watching the combi get driven away. But you're right. We're sort of all up here. Most of the boys have got their cars, or a couple of hire cars that the club have got for us. So yeah, the boys are out and about enjoying the sunny coast.
You could have a combi. Could be an Airbnb in Coogee. You'd get a lot of money for that if you thought outside
It had a rock and roll bed in the back too. Yeah, it was
awesome. Oh, nice. Now, we actually did ring to find out who's going to be your hooker, mate. That's the only reason we call. What's going on?
Are you putting a jersey on?
Sam Verrills is out, of course, and you've got a few options. Has it been decided yet, or are you still tossing up who's going to play dummy half?
Yeah, so mate, there's a few options there. Obviously, we've got Lachie Lamb, who can go into number 9, and Sammy Walker can come onto the bench. Benny Marshke's in our 21, so boys, politely, I might just keep that a secret if that's okay. But there's a few different options there. We're pretty clear on what we're going to do, but I might just keep you guys in suspense for 24 more hours if that's okay.
You know what I'm actually thinking, Sats?
What's that?
Victor Radley at the start of the game.
Okay,
he's just going to go out.
Makes
full
sense.
On. Tackle Manly out of the game.
Makes
so.
Sense.
Yeah. Hey, you've had so many players that are, you know, it's been well publicised. So many players have missed out on with injuries, and you've had a bunch of blokes having to retire. Have you had training sessions where you couldn't scratch a full team together?
Yeah, don't worry, mate. We've had myself, Craig Fitzgibbon, and Nate Kalis are all on the coaching staff here, so we've all filed in there at some stage to make the numbers up. But yeah, it's been an exceptional year, Badge. It's been one of those years where you just can't foresee anything, you know, that's coming. You know, last week does not look like this week, and we know that next week's going to look different as well. It's just been one of those years. So, I don't say that lightly. You know, we're talking about, you know, Jake Friend played 25 minutes for us this year. Boyd Cordner didn't get to put his boots on at all. Brett Morris played 8 games for us, and we'll never see those guys play footy ever again. And then, obviously, Luke Keary and Lindsay Collins, who, you know, Keary's played for his country, Lindsay's played for his state. You know, they're such big parts. You know, they played, you know, Keary played 2.5 games, Lindsay played 8 games for us, and then just the constant rotation of suspension and injuries for the rest of the year. But it's been a really proud year to be a Rooster, to be totally honest. The way our club and our team have just continually turned up and had the ability to adjust to anything that's been thrown in front of us just makes me really proud to be a part of this great club. And to call myself a Rooster and to be a part of this season's been a blessing, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a tough club. Now, coaching is an art, as you know, Maddie, and And you're part of that very good coaching staff there, as you alluded to. But have you learned a lot more about coaching, especially this year, because of the pandemic, moving away, having your players 24-7? We've spoken to other coaches about not over-coaching your players when you've got them 24-7. Have you learned some different aspects about coaching?
Yeah. I suppose so. The as you guys all know, you're not going to be a good coach unless you build good relationships with your players. They're just not going to listen to you if they don't believe in you as a person. And I suppose the opportunity we've had up here is to really build those relationships. You know, you sit down after dinner and or you sit down, after training, you walk down to the pool and they're down there and you just get a chance to relax and actually show a bit more of yourself around the players, and you do build those relationships. So when you do ask the players to stick their heads in front of, 120 kilo front rolls, and they're on a full pelt at you, they're going to do it for you just that little bit more. And whether moving forward as a coach, I can build more camps. Like in the preseason, you sort of just go 6 weeks before Christmas, and then you're 6 weeks after Christmas, and then you play your trials. I'm wondering whether you can actually sneak in a little 2 or 3 week camp somewhere and bunker down, and a little bit NFL styles. Everyone watches Hard Knocks and those NFL shows where they do have their preseason camps, and it's just a great opportunity to really forge some relationships. And as you guys know, as I alluded to, the stronger the relationships inside a club, invariably the better the club goes. And this camp has really taught me the power of being away together.
Hey, did you take much out of Melbourne's approach last week at destabilising Tommy Trbojevic?
Yeah, we'd be stupid not to look at that and learn from it. We've also got some defensive tactics that we've used for a long time that we think are going to hurt, not only Tommy but Manly too. So we'll learn from Melbourne, but we don't want to become the Melbourne Storm, obviously. We just want to do what we do really well and obviously give them evidence as to why that's going to work. So, the Storm have done their thing for a long, long time. You could tell that Melbourne had done a lot of homework on Tommy on how to negate his ability. So we'll learn from that, and then we'll do it in our own style as well, which is obviously really important. But he's such a gun. Are you guys with me? Like, how good is he? How good is it to watch him play? So we've got such a big job in our hands to stop him, but we've got some tools in our box to get it done.
Yeah, hey, Matt, the bloke I wanted to talk about, you've got a lot of really experienced players there, but the least experienced bloke in your squad would probably be Sammy Walker, but he just keeps stepping up and coming up with big plays and that field goal. He's done it a couple of times this year. Are you surprised when you look at him physically about what he's capable of doing on the field at the top level?
Yeah. Matey. If you had it this time last year, watching him when he trained for 12 months, obviously with COVID last year, and he had to stand in front of Boyd Cordner and Angus Crichton, Satili Tupanua as that three in, and she was pretty rough last year watching him stand there. He was just a little turnstile. Obviously, he was lighter and more inexperienced than he is at the moment. So for him to have the preseason he had, I got a lot of faith out of the preseason he has. He's a competitor, Sammy. We can all see that. And with the footy in his hand, there's not too many more free spirits in our game. He just goes out and plays footy, and he's become a game winner too for us. He's kicked 3 field goals for us now this year, which is just amazing. But, obviously the development for Sammy is just locking down that defensive aspect of his game. He's, they send a lot of traffic at him, rightly so. He's a young half, and he's not the biggest dude. And once he knows how to be a great defender for 80 minutes week in, week out, Sammy Walker will be one of the premier players in our game for sure. But I am surprised. I am surprised him to get it done at such a young age.
But you're going to have one eye, of course, on the Panthers and Eels on Saturday night, I imagine, especially if you guys are still alive, or when you're still alive after Friday night. That should be a great matchup, shouldn't it, the Battle of the Western Sydney teams?
Yeah, it's great. I know my role at the Roosters means I'm a coach. I'm meant to be serious, but I'm a tragic. I love footy, mate. I watch every game, and if it's not just for work, it's at home. I've got my wife and 3 little girls, and unfortunately, they have to sit there and watch 3 games on Saturday. That's not exactly what they want to be doing, but they have to do it. So, definitely, mate. We'll get through our game on Friday, and fingers crossed it pans out the way we want it, and then obviously sit back and watch, the 2 great Western Sydney teams go at it. It's going to be a cracker. Para
You know, Parra lost their mojo a couple of weeks ago, but they're slowly getting it back. And the way Mitch Moses played last week, and their forwards are so dynamic. It's going to be a great little battle there. And Mitch up against Nathan Cleary is exciting for everyone. And then, you know, the two big boppers up front, you know, Junior Paulo and, you know, Fisher Harris, these guys, it's going to be unreal.
Now, Matty, when you sit around the pool and just, you said you give yourself to the players and get to know them a little bit more, do you tell them about your infamous stories and your escapades when playing for the Casino Cougars? And
well, that's usually when there's a stubby in their hands, that, to be honest, mate. Usually that's when my best storytelling comes out, when I've had a couple, mate. But do you know what? The coaches are awesome. They, you know, we're always swapping war stories. There's, you know, Robbo and Fitzy and Nate Kalis and myself are always trying to outdo each other. So that's when the old stories come out, mate, with those guys for sure.
Hey, just before we let you go, Kingy, how was the coach's box in that last 15 seconds last week when Firmer made that break down the left-hand side? What was it like?
Yeah, well, mate, thanks a lot. I'm in blue shirt.
I saw you on the sideline.
Mate, I'm not allowed on the... Oh, I would have given anything to be on the field cuddling the boys when he threw the ball out. But, yeah, mate, so, yeah, they tell me that, you know, Robbo's blood pressure was pretty high there. We can see that, yeah, Robbo loves his footy, but that was a hard stop. I must admit, when Firmer made the breakdown there on our right there left, I turned away, I couldn't watch, and then I heard the "oh" from the crowd, and I knew that something had happened in our favour. So I turned around and then had that one play to go. But, mate, I couldn't watch. As he made that break, I could see the support he had on his inside. Oh. And Teddy did such a good job to corral him to the sideline. And then Semi walks, comes up with a match saver for us. It was, again, a very proud moment to be a Rooster.
Hey, how good is footy? How good are footy finals as well? If you get through the Dragons, not the Dragons, if you get through Manly this week, you've got the Bunnies in the preliminary final. And that, as well, would be a corker. Let's not look ahead to that yet. Let's look forward to tomorrow night. Good luck, Matty King, assistant coach of the Roosters. Thanks for your time on Sports Day.
Thanks, boys. No worries.
This is Sports Day. Time for a break. When we come back, that's ridiculous, boys. We saved them from last night, haven't we?
Yeah, we did.
Well, we have this.
You're the panel operator, so you're the one that tells us whether we do it or not.
Panel operator. Yeah. We'll be back in just a moment.
You're listening to Sports Day. Have your say by dropping Badge and Sats a text. 0477 736 736. That's 0477 736 736. This is Sports Day. We'll be right back. Welcome to Sports Day with Badge and Sats. Two footy legends covering all things sport for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed.
Two footy legends, they certainly are. Badge and Sats, Thursday night, Sports Day it is. You can shoot us a text, 0477 736 736. Geez, we've had a big first hour. We've had the Goats and we've had the King. And this hour, we have the guitarist.
Soldier.
And part-time guitarist at the moment. He's got a brand new song out. Pete Murray, we're talking about. He went to school with you, Sats, in Brisbane.
Yeah, we went to boarding school together, actually. He's a chinchilla boy, which is Western Queensland little town.
Yep.
Yeah, well, not so little now.
Saying he was a pretty good athlete, Sats.
Tremendous.
All right.
Yeah, should have ran in the Commonwealth Games until injury forced him into music. So, tremendous guy. And people will be thinking, why have you got a musician on a sports show? Well, he's got a huge sporting background and he's got some real links to sport. And we spoke to Sammy Burgess last night about SAS, which he's part of as well, Pete Murray. Interesting.
When do we get, is it Bryn Eggleston? When do we get her?
Yes, as soon as she's, she's got a couple of lip appointments coming up.
If you had to put odds on who was going to hand their number in first, she would have been $1.01.
Oh, God. Actually, Badge, I got Sam Bird.
I want to see her matched up head-to-head with Roxy Jasenko.
Oh, wouldn't that be fun?
On SAS.
Bryn every day in a cage fight.
Well, why don't their lips get into a cage fight and see who's got the better lips?
Now you're getting creepy again.
Why? What do you mean? Hey, Badge.
The problem with Roxy is we don't even know if it's her.
All right.
Because she just doesn't look anything like she did.
Now, listen, I got Sam. He's got Pete Murray. You've got to get Dan Ewing. Is that his name? the guy from Neighbours, wherever he's from.
Yeah. Well, the one who keeps calling himself Dan Ewing.
Yeah. All right. Hey, well, listen.
Dan Ewing can make it. Dan Ewing will.
0477 736 736. Shoot us a text. Of course, Badge is coming from a studio starting with Q tonight. Who is it again, Badge? I forgot.
You what?
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I'm tired today. I'm so tired.
Anthony Quinn.
Anthony Quinn.
And we need some help.
Yeah, we do.
I did mention Graham Quinn, who played at St George.
Yeah, we got a text about that.
And I think he's from Ipswich, actually, because he played State of Origin.
All right, let's run through some of these texts. Thanks to McDonald Jones Homes. Get $45,000 off every McDonald Jones home.
Now, yeah, sorry we haven't got to some of your texts, but because we've had some great guests, we're going to get some now. Some cues. John Quayle.
Oh, bad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, great Quayle. Administrator and also a great rugby league player as well.
Played for Roosters.
Roosters, yeah. Brian Quinton at the Gold Coast. Vic Quirin. Luke Quigley played for Newcastle.
Luke Quigley.
Yeah.
Did he play for the Dragons too?
No,
maybe not. Okay.
No, there was. We've had a fair few actually in relation to the Qs. Pat Quinn, Graham Quinn, Tony Quirk. Yeah, there's been a few that have sent the same
Quinn.
Names in. Paul Quinn.
Paul Quinn.
Yep. Now another Q is TB says, Sats, check the five Quinn Liven brothers who played for South in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. And from memory, knowing a fair bit about the South's history, I only thought there was three, but apparently there is five. I just made a text, sent a text message off to another Rabbitoh tragic, and he said there was five. The only three that I knew of was there was Oscar, Adam, and Alan, I think, was the other one.
Do you want me to look it up?
If you want, in the meantime. That's
yeah.
Computer right? Says what?
Yeah.
I don't know. No, there's three.
Now, Rob says Graham Quinn, of course, won premierships in 77, 79. He was his old boss at CUB.
Uh-huh.
He was a great player, Graham Quinn. He was.
He was Quiddy.
Rightio. Keep your text messages coming.
Paul Quinn was down in Canberra, Queanbeyan for a lot of years too. Right. Champion bloke.
Keep your texts coming through. Save $45,000 off your dream home. Visit the McDonald Jones website to take a virtual tour. The reason we want you to keep texting too, because, you know, every Thursday night we finish the show with a song. Mm. Badge has picked this one tonight. We have no
Sunny
idea.
Sunny Boys. Badge, what?
Badge
you
thinks he's in another lot. Scene of Cheech and Chong.
Yes.
When he brings up this song.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
The only Sunny Boy I know.
Memories.
Is the ones we used to suck on in high school. You know those frozen Sunny Boys used to get, the triangle?
Oh, God, where is this going?
What?
This is Sats' song, Living on a Prayer.
Yeah, fans are praying that their team gets through this weekend.
Oh.
It's got to have a theme.
Well, my theme.
Well, Missy Grafton, she says Adam Quinlan. He played for the Saints, he did. And also, on the songs... There's also one here about the song to take the show out should be Ain't No Mountain High Enough.
No,
that's a theme.
You've got to pick one of the ones we're picking. Mine's this one. Beautiful song from Pete Murray. So beautiful.
Is this out of respect, is it?
Yeah, well, Pete's coming on the show tonight.
Because you know he's listening.
Absolutely.
And you'd be bagging him for weeks. You put him in the same bracket as who are they?
No, I've never put anyone in the same bracket as Shepherd. In fact, Pete, I'm begging you to do the grand final because I know what's going to happen.
Do you reckon?
If he doesn't do the grand final, you know he's going to bloody do it.
Mm. Hey, Google's just popped up and she told me five Quinn Liven brothers, Oscar, Alan, and the other three, Jack, Clinton and Leon, also all played with South between
underestimated
the
name
30s
Leon.
And 40s.
I like the name Leon.
All right, keep your text coming through, 0477 736 736. Who's going to be the dummy half for the Roosters?
I don't know. Badge, you brought up
Oscar Quinn Liven.
You made me think. Actually, on hookers, Johnny says Max Quillich and Angus Quighton. For cues.
Right.
Who's going to be hooker? You brought up a really good point with Matty King. Do they start Victor Radley and maybe Nat Butcher at lock?
I've seen that happen before.
But we know Victor's so important with that link role to his
heart. I've seen back rowers start at hooker many times, including State of Origin back in 2003.
I think if they don't start Sam Walker, they can't win the game.
What?
Yeah, I don't think they can win the game if Sam Walker doesn't start.
Yeah, but they could get targeted too. And
yeah. I know.
Probably won't, but all right. Yeah. We'll just have to wait and see. We'll know more.
On the subject of hookers, Brendan Smith and his history, his future is all thrown around where he could end up at the end of 2022 or even earlier throughout to 2022. Now he's nailed down a number nine spot ahead of Harry Grant. Their general manager of footy, Frankie Panisi, he's more than confident that Brendan Smith will stay at the club and not try and get out for 2022, but even beyond 2022
even
as
longer.
Well. Yeah.
It'd be amazing because we all thought it'd sort of have to be one or the other, didn't we?
Yeah.
Formal talks expected to be held soon, Badge, between the Raiders and Tyrone Peachy, of course, who's been let go by the Titans.
Yeah, apparently they've been tossing his name around. Now they've reached out and they're going to actually sit down. And I think he'd be a good buy.
So do I.
I still wonder why the Titans let him go, but I imagine it's all over because of salary cap restrictions. And the Raiders are looking for someone else that can help them out in their halves after their halfback shot back home to England this year, George Williams. And Sam Williams has been there, but they want some more back up there. They want someone else. And even if he's not a halfback, he's a very good lock or number 14, Tyrone Peachy. I'd be happy with
And their number 13 jersey was sort of shared between Soliola and Ryan Sutton, third front rowers. But Canberra needs something different. They need something from an attacking point of view in that jersey number 13, a little bit like what other clubs are doing now. And Tyrone Peachy would be an amazing pickup.
Well, and at times I think Josh Hodgson slotted back in there when...
Yeah, you're right.
When you're sort of halfway through the game and he'd just add a bit of a dimension too. So, yeah, I think it'd be good.
What happened to the chats with Ash Taylor? Wasn't Ricky admitted to having a chat with Ash Taylor? I wonder if there's anything else happening with that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because they need a seven, right? They need a seven.
They do. Yeah. I think under the right coach, you get Ash Taylor at the right time. Now, everyone has a trigger in their career of when they just get it. They finally get it and they go on a run in the back end of their career. Some it comes a lot earlier, some it comes a lot later. I think whoever gets Ash Taylor next gets him at exactly the right time.
Oh, yeah.
I think Ash Taylor would get that this is his last chance. If he doesn't get it right, well, you know, whilst he's probably got a bit of coin in the bank and everything from his great contracts, and he's got a hell of a lot of more good footy in him if he can just get his head right. So, yeah, he might be a good timing for it, Sats.
All right, two games this weekend, semi-finals, elimination semi-finals in the NRL. Boys, Friday night, tomorrow night, Seagulls versus Roosters. Can I get your tips, please?
Okay.
I'm going Seagulls, but you know what? I don't think by much. If Sam Walker starts, I think the Roosters are... I think they could beat them, but I think the Eagles by six.
Yeah, I think the Seagulls by maybe even more than that. By 10. But, they'll be much better this week than they were last week.
Saturday night, Panthers-Eels. They've been close contests this year.
They have, one each. I think Panthers.
Can they recover from what happened last week?
Mm.
That was a shock loss to South.
When you're used to winning, it doesn't take you long to find out what's wrong, what's happened. So I think the Panthers will win.
Yeah, I penciled the Panthers in too. Eels played much, much better than I thought they would with Mitch Moses fired up. But I think the Panthers will come good too, so I'm on them as well.
Right, yeah, thanks for your tips. This is Sports Day. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. We better get to a break. We're so lucky. We've got Pete Murray joining us next on Sports Day.
You're listening to Sports Day. Have your say by dropping Badge and Sats a text. 0477 736 736. That's 0477 736 736. This is Sports Day. We'll be right back. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats. For Kia, the new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Badge and Sats here for your Thursday night. This man has a brand new song out. I love it. Me Steady is new. It's out tomorrow. Pete Murray is back with brand new music. And I reckon he's probably a lot more toner. Not that he was fat before. I'm not saying that.
No.
But he has been.
He's been on SAS and no doubt he's been punished on that as well. Pete Murray, welcome to Sports Day, mate.
Hey, guys. Thank you very much. Well, at times the belly was kind of poking out a little bit too far in the shots, I did notice, but I was trying to suck it in as best I could for the show.
Congratulations, Pete, on a new song, Hold Me Steady, which as Jace is saying, comes out very, very soon. And, I mean, before we touch on that, multiple award-winning album with Feeler, can you believe it's only a couple of years and it's 20 years ago?
I know. It's crazy, isn't it? Mate, I remember back when that, just before that came out, that album, you know, I didn't think it was going to work. I thought it was destined to fail. And I was just so surprised when everything just took off so quickly too. Like it was a really quick rise. But that album just set up my whole career. You know, it's still very popular today with a lot of the fans as well. So you know, you can go anywhere around the world and play their songs, and people know at least one of them. You know.
Yeah, now I've been educating Badge and also Jace about your time at Nudgee, where you're a very good athlete, a great rugby union player, a great track and field as well. And then it was actually a knee injury, wasn't it, that actually forced you down the road of music?
Yes, mate. Yeah, back in school days when we were all young and fit, it was good fun. I used to do run fours and eights. And obviously played rugby as well. I was a swimmer too, but I hated swimming. It was just too much for me. I was too kind of boring being in your own head for so long, you know, in the water. But I loved athletics, loved footy, and I was I did some athletics after school. I kind of ran at the Commonwealth Games trials in 1990, I think it was. And union. I didn't play much union. It was kind of bits and pieces here and there. But I was at a time in union when there was a chance, because I came off of an athletic season where, you know, when you're running fours and eights, you're super fit. And the sevens in the rugby was, 7 minutes half. You'd need fitness. And if you had fitness, it was much easier to run around guys, basically. You'd keep going for the whole game. So there was a chance of me making an Australian side to go over to Hong Kong sevens back then. But I had a knee injury around the same time, and it was all kind of, you know, it was just bad luck, I guess. And or good luck, you know. I kind of look at it now as good luck, because it's I went and picked up a guitar. I was doing some study in natural medicine at the time. I went overseas, took a break. By the time I sort of came back from overseas, backpacking around, I was really right into music, and I still didn't think that was going to be a big career for me. I thought it would be something that I could do, and you know, maybe play a few covers at the pub. to keep me going for a while. And I did that for a little while, and then one thing led to another, and before I knew it, you know, I had written my first album, which was quite late at that stage. So I was 30 at the time, so it's quite late to be doing that sort of thing. But, you know, things took off not long after that.
Are you saying that at around 18 you picked up a guitar for the first time? Surely there must have been some more music in your life before that.
No, I was 21.
21,
mate, around the time. Yeah. I had no music at all. Nothing in
not
the family.
Too late for
me. I had not too late at all. So I think when I had the success at the age of 30, 31, 32, whatever it was, I remember giving a lot of hope for guys in their 30s to know that, you know, it doesn't really matter what age you are, you can be successful if you put your mind to it. And you just can't be a pop star, you know, because your pop stars are all pretty young. But, writing the style of music that I do, I guess it's kind of the longevity that I go for, and it's fairly broad market with all sorts of ages that can be attracted to it. So, I was still surprised, guys, you know, when it happened, and to have that success the way I did. I never expected it to be that big, and, still, even 20 years later, still doing it. That's the hardest thing, I think, having success in music business, because it's a very hard business to try and be successful in. You can get, I guess, have that luck early on that you'll see it. A lot of bands, a lot of artists will have that successful album and then they fade away. You know, you don't hear from them again. It's a really hard thing to have success, but then it's even harder to maintain it. So I feel very privileged that I'm still here and still playing and, you know, still have a good fan base.
Yeah. Did you draw on much of that, you know, not just your athletics and your footy, you know, your prowess and your fitness when you went on SAS, but also the fact you tried something completely new and you made a go of it? Did you draw on some of that while you were doing that crazy show?
SAS? Yeah. Well, the key guys, you know, when you're involved in sport, you've got a drive having to be successful and to go as well as you can. So I've always had that. I carried the drive I had in sport into music. So music was, you know, for me, I still just had that drive to be successful. And even now, I still haven't lost that. I still want to be doing other things. When SAS And I saw the first show last year. I looked at it and went, wow, that'd be awesome. I'd love to do something like that, just for the adventure where you go, what you do. It's not that often you get a chance to be jumping out of helicopters and, you know, all being, you know, putting your seatbelt on in a Jeep and being sunk, you know, 6 metres below the water and trying to get yourself out of there. So, but that appeals to me. It's not going to appeal to everybody. I like the thrill of trying to push yourself as far as you can. So when SAS came up, I was kind of a little bit nervous because I'm 51 now, you know, so you're not young. When you're younger, you can kind of manage these things a lot easier. When you get to 50, it's, as you guys know, it's harder, you know, to try and do that. The older you get, trying to recover from things. And so that was my biggest concern. How would my body go holding up with this stuff? And I had a bit of a calf injury straight away a couple of weeks before I went in there. And it settled down a little bit. By the time the first... one of the first things on the first day we had to do was a helicopter, jumping out of the helicopter and going across a ladder and then jumping back in the helicopter and probably like 20 metres above the water. So there's a lot of factors that go into, you know, getting this right. You've got to basically, you know, helicopter that's moving, so and you're a long way up. So if you start freaking out mentally, you're not switched on, you're going to fall, and all these things you've got to think about. So, you know, to do that stuff... at an older age, it was kind of like, can I do that? And I remember going to the park with my daughter. It was only like about a month earlier. And these are the monkey bars, you know, that. And I had the same thing. I only got halfway across and fell off. I had this fear going, oh, no, this is not a good start for me. I'm going to fall off in the water. But, you know, I managed to get through it and pretty comfortably, which was great, you know. So, yeah, it was nice to do that.
Yeah, there's nothing better than seeing people face their fears and get through the other side, which you're getting to do now. You can't give too much away, but last night's episode, of course, was Kobe Abbott and cheating in the push-ups. Now, what was the environment like amongst all the contestants when... And we didn't get to see all of it, but what was it like when it was unveiled that he had not only just missed a couple, he'd missed 15 push-ups as part of one of those challenges?
Yeah, it's a tricky one, isn't it? There were a few guys pretty peeved about it. I actually really believe Kobe didn't mean to do it. Hey, I think he's just the sort of guy that's just so gung-ho. He was more about trying to just get in first. I think he was trying his best to get there. And I think I spoke to him later that night because he was really upset about being called a cheat, you know. And he said, I didn't cheat. I didn't do it on purpose. And he said, I think I must have gone into it and counted one when I went down and two when I came up. So he was doing like double counting as he was doing the push-ups. And to be honest, if you don't know him, you'd think that's bullshit, mate. But if you know him, you'd go, you know, that's something that he would do, and he wouldn't mean to do it. But it was still tricky because some people did doubt that, and they doubted him for making that mistake, or they thought he was, you know, had cheated. It was definitely started to divide the camp up a little bit with the people that were kind of into it. But look, you know, he's a real character. Toby, and he and I got on really well.
Now, we spoke to Sammy Burgess last night. We know what he's like in confrontation, how he loves that competitive streak. How'd you find him?
Yeah. Sam and I got on like a house on fire. We actually drove out in the car together, so we'd never met each other before, but I knew there was going to be another competitor that was doing it, that was going to meet at the same hotel where I was staying that night. I didn't know who it was, and the funny thing was, the day before, I was catching a flight up from Ballina to Sydney, and I had too much stuff. I had to get rid of all my bags. No, sorry, I was almost ready to miss my flight, and so I couldn't check my bags on. So all I could do, I had to get rid of the big bag, and my wife had this little pink backpack. She said, just shove your stuff in the pink backpack and here's a couple of plastic bags. So I'm getting onto the plane with these two plastic bags and a pink backpack, and it's kind of a bit embarrassing. And I didn't sort of, I mean, you know, as a bloke, you know, it's a bit embarrassing. I'm, you know, people might recognise me wearing a pink backpack, and it's like, just not so manly, you know. And anyway, I get into Sydney, I go to bed that night, and I get up in the morning. It's still the only thing I've got is this pink backpack. And I knew another guy who's involved in this show, and Sam Burgess. So first thing, I walked down and I had to explain, listen, I just want to explain, that's my wife. It's not mine. So he had a bit of luck. We sort of got in like house on fire straight away. So the drive was about 2 hours out to where we had to go. And we just, mate, we just talked the whole way because, you know, we both love our footy. And we talked about everything. So we got on really well. Sam's a terrific guy. Obviously, he was copping a hard time in the media for a long time. And, you know, he's one of those guys, you know him. He's a really lovely bloke. And, you know, there's not much, I can't say anything bad about him. So, he's a unit, you know, and you guys would have seen him in the tunnel that day.
Mm.
Did you see that one?
Yeah,
crazy.
But that was insane.
Mm.
In a way, I'm glad he got stuck because I was straight after him, and they didn't let me. We ran out of time, so I didn't have to do it.
No so, way!
Thanks for getting.
Yeah, you're kidding.
Thanks for getting your head.
How good was that?
I didn't know what it was. Well, Sam and I were together, and Ant Middleton, one of the DS guys, came up, and he sort of. We didn't know what we were doing. Just one by one, people running off, and you could hear this. There's banging on something, and the guys are going, "Yeah, halfway, keep going, keep going." And I just looked at Sam. I said, I can guarantee this is some sort of tunnel under the ground that we've got to do. I know it is. And then Ant came up to us and he said, "You guys are going to love this one because Sam and I are probably, you know, a couple of the biggest guys there, I guess, and the broadest." And so Ant's like, "You guys are going to love this." Especially Sam, he was huge, you know. And I've gone, "No, it's a tunnel." And he came up and said, "Look, this is a tunnel. And the only way for you two guys, I'm just giving you some advice. The only way that you're going to get through this is to put your arms above your head and use your fingers to push yourself along, to pull yourself along, and your toes to pull yourself along." And I'm sitting there going, "Oh, my God, how tight is this thing? And how long do you go for under there?" So I'm sitting here. I would rather not know about it.
Yeah,
once
true.
Once you start thinking about these things, it gets in your head. So I'm sitting here, I'm doing all these arm shapes and how do I go like this and should I do this, one arm down, one arm up, and panicking about it, and Sam gets called to go, and there's about probably, I think, five of us left that hadn't had a chance. So Sam, off he goes, and we're sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting, and I'm thinking, "God, this must be, you know, shocking to do." And then one of the DS comes down and said, "Rightio, you guys are off the hook. Your mate Sam's stuck in there." And I was thinking to myself, great. "You little ripper. Good on you. That's great." Rather than going, I hope he's okay. I was cheering, going, "Good on you. That's great."
Great TV. So getting in tunnels and getting dipped into water inside a car and having to climb out of a helicopter and do that ladder traverse and some crazy stuff. Yep. You can't give it away, but are we in for some more frightening and hair-raising stuff?
Well, look, for me, I think the first 4 days were the really intense things like that. But there's still a lot more to come, yeah. And, you know, it is SAS, so, you know, you don't know what you're in for. That's the thing. Every day that you're sitting there, you don't know what's up next.
Is that where the words to this, the name of your song, your title of your song, "Hold Me Steady," was that inspired
Hold
by
Me Steady.
On the show?
That's right.
Crossing the helicopter
sounds
ladder,
like it,
or
doesn't it? Sounds it like does. I wrote it last, the other week in the course.
What's the motivation?
No, that one.
Behind the song.
For that song?
Yeah.
So I wrote the music here in Byron Bay, and I went for a tour over in the UK, and the guys who were supporting me, Joe and Dave Dunwell, a couple of boys from Leeds, and I was up in Leeds and spent a bit of time with them. Jumped in the studio and before we went on the tour, and they helped me sort of, you know, write the lyrics for this song and put it together. So it really got some great soulful vocals. That's their vocals and the harmonies on the song. And it's just a really soulful song, mate. You know, it's about someone awesome. When, you know, someone that you think's really amazing. Whether it's your parents, your partner, or your kids. It's just one of those songs that's really positive for me. It's been, I mean, I've only sort of been singing it recently, so I'm still getting used to it, but it's a really great song to sing when you're singing the chorus because it is such a beautiful song, you know, and positive.
Yeah, it's a great song. It hooked me in straight up, Pete. It's a great song indeed. Hey, just quickly, before we let you go, we've got to let you go. Footy finals, you love your footy. How do you think that's going to... Who's going to be in the GF? And is it a Melbourne Storm grand final to lose, Pete?
You know what, mate? I was disappointed when the Panthers went out the other day because I thought, you know, a rematch between Storm and Panthers would be a great grand final. I kind of feel, I think the Panthers are going to beat the Eels. I think it's going to be the grand final for me, I think, is going to be Melbourne and Panthers. I think the Bunnies are going to get through the grand final on the other side. And I think whoever wins out of the Panthers or the Storm, you know, that's going to be a hell of a game. I mean, depending on how they're going to go, they're going to be pretty wrecked for the Bunnies. Or it could be harder. But I think Bunnies, I'm going to say Bunnies and the Panthers. I reckon the Panthers might lift after that loss last week, and I think they might lift.
And will we see you centre stage NRL Grand Final day at Suncorp Stadium playing entertainment?
Please.
Can you confirm or deny?
Please.
I haven't been contacted about anything yet, mate. So
it's coming nothing. Bloody Shepherd again.
You love it, Woogie.
Please don't. Mate, can you ring PVL, put your hand up. I can't have Shepherd again,
stop
mate.
Stop it.
I
can't. They're good. They're good artists.
Jeez, Pete, put your hand up, please, mate. I'll give you another plug. It's Pete Murray is back with a brand new music.
I'll be totally up for it, guys.
In the shape of Hold Me Steady. Out tomorrow, Pete, we could talk to you. I mean, Sats wanted to talk to you about your alpacas as
go
well.
Go feed your alpacas, Pete.
Have you got alpacas?
On the next interview, Sats will talk. No, mate, I haven't got those.
Well, get some.
Yeah, for next time. Pete Murray, thanks for joining us on Sports Day, mate.
Thanks, guys.
The great Pete Murray, who doesn't want to see Shepherd sing the grand final as well.
No, I
heard him say it.
No, he didn't say that.
He didn't.
He supports Queensland talent.
Yes, the word talent is correct.
He did say he'd put his hand up. He'll put his hand up.
And Badge?
Love to do it.
And Badge, what does that mean? You're with me on this. That means?
That means get in.
I'll take one for the team. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. Available as a hybrid, plug-in hybrid and full electric. This is Sports Day.
You're listening to Sports Day. Have your say by dropping Badge and Sats a text. 0477 736 736. That's 0477 736 736. This is Sports Day. We'll be right back. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats. For Kia, the new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Gary Belcher, Scott Sattler, Thursday night. Keep your texts coming through. We'll get to them in just a moment. 0477 736 736. Got a GWS update for you, lads. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. Jeremy Finlayson could be off from the GWS Giants and going to Port Adelaide, despite having 2 years to run on his contract with the Giants. Seven what? News is reporting this, yeah. The 25-year-old forward has already undergone a medical with the South Australian club and as he scopes out his options. He didn't even go to Mad Monday in Victoria with the Giants. Instead,
that's a sure sign.
Yeah. And the other thing is too, his wife's just had a baby and her family are in South Australia.
Oh, I thought you were going to say her family went to Mad Monday.
They instead, in fact, his wife and child did instead of and had a great time.
I know players that have, a player that has invited his girlfriend to Mad Monday.
Oh, come on, do we have to talk about Jared Wallace
again? No. It wasn't Jared.
He was home at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
That's embarrassing.
He put Joe Biden to bed. That's how early he went home. The all-new Kia Niro electric SUV range. Available as a hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and full electric.
Come on, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. There's got to be an investigation into this. This has got to be, someone's got to be accountable for this.
All right, what do you got, Sats?
Yeah, this is audio from Twitter, and it's in relation to Nicki Minaj. Now, this is a newsreader from Fox News reading this out about COVID.
She said that her cousin in Trinidad, quote, won't get the vaccine because his friend got it and became impotent. His testicles became swollen. His friend was weeks away from getting married. Now that girl called off the wedding. So just pray on it and make sure you're comfortable with your decision, not bullied. Which seems sensible.
What? What?
Mm. No, it's too.
Come on, that's ridiculous.
That happened to me once.
What's ridiculous is that I got my vac. My first shot last week and my testicles didn't swell. That's what's ridiculous. Anyway.
I told you about the thing I had. I had to have an operation
no,
twice.
Don't tell us. Don't tell us again.
It was huge.
Oh, stop it.
It was not.
I used to wear tight jeans on purpose.
I'm going to vomit on air.
All right, let's go to our text, 0477 736 736. You got some there, Badge?
Hi, no. James, Satson, Badge. Frank from Bringelly.
No,
hey, Frank, I remember Bringelly when I used to live out at Penrith. I lived out at, where did I live?
Bringelly.
I lived at, what was it called?
Penrith.
Wallachia. And I remember at Bringelly, Frank, the Rebels used to have their bikey compound at Bringelly. Is it still there? Can you let me know? I'm sure Richard Quinn, I'm sure Quinny's father, Richard, played for Parramatta in the front row. We're talking about the Qs, of course, and Badges.
Oh,
in
so
the...
Anthony Quinn's father.
Yeah.
Is that what he means?
Might be, yeah.
It was Richard. Mm. Ah. Okay.
We've got a little Luke Quigley's, and they're from Newcastle fans, of course.
How many were there?
Quigley's.
Luke's.
The one Luke Quigley. We've got a lot of people nominating Luke Quigley. Starting with Q, Tony Quirk, a St. George fullback. Of course, yeah, Johnny Quayle, he played as well. This is Danger
Chris
says,
Quinn.
Top song sats, because we, of course, we put our own songs up, and I put on Living on a Prayer. He's on top song, Go Boy. And on the back of that, we've also got another vote from the Tamora Supporters Club, of course, the famous Tamora Dragons. Living on a Prayer, Go the Mighty Rabbitohs.
This is to finish the show.
That's, with.
Are you only reading out the ones that are voting for you?
Well, there's actually one for Sonny Boys.
Saint Boyd. Sonny Boys by a mile.
Yeah.
Good on you, Boyd.
Now, Toronto Rod says, why is Freddie Fittler on the Menu Log TV ad when they're all South players? And their sponsor, is he coaching there or are they just on the gravy train? No, Freddie's just on the gravy train.
Was that an ad from last year, wasn't it?
No, Menu Log, still on this year.
Yeah, but it's a, okay. Oh, it's been on for a while, hasn't it?
Mm. Yeah, it's been on for a while.
Well, Greg Inglis is on it.
Yep.
GI, he's part of the Rabbitohs still, isn't he?
Now, Bondi Jack says, yep, creepy old senile Joe Biden. He is so likable, he's made a joke of Australia. He doesn't even know ScoMo's name. They stood face-to-face with ScoMo today, well, he's on Zoom, before a worldwide audience and said thank you to Boris, and thank you to that fella from down under. Thanks, Prime Minister. Now, I think, Bondi Jack, I thought it was a term of endearment.
I don't like Biden, and I reckon it was a term of endearment as well. When you put it into context with everything else that was said.
Yeah. Hey, do you know St. Boyd, and we're not going to start with the R's yet, which is Monday night. We're going to do the R's, but there's a lot of R's he's throwing up. And there's also...
I don't want to know.
There's also a text earlier on in the night, which we didn't get to, about the X's. How hard is it going to be to X? And the first one that comes
to mind...
Anthony Zverev played for Penrith.
Only one. Billy X-Ray. Yeah, was in lower grades, North Queensland. John Quayle, we mentioned John Quayle tonight, also played for Para. Thank you, Ken.
He did,
Waters for reminding us. He wasn't just a rooster.
He was bald early on too, wasn't he, Johnny Quayle? A lot of his action shots.
Was he?
Yep.
Right here.
Mm. Chris Quinn.
Kevin coming.
Chris Quinn.
Yeah, haven't we said Chris Quinn 100 times though?
No,
oh, there's so many Quinns.
Anthony, Paul, Graham, but not Chris. Thanks. Good on you, Chris.
Right here. This is Sports Day. Thanks to the new Kia Niro. It's a beautiful looking car. Make sure you grab yourself the range. Grab yourself one. The range has landed. When we come back, last blast, last laugh, and we'll finish the show with the song you want to hear the most next on Sports Day.
You're listening to Sports Day. Have your say by dropping Badge and Sats a text. 0477 736 736. That's 0477 736 736. This is Sports Day. We'll be right back. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats. For Kia, the new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. It's time for the last blast on Sports Day with Badge and Sats.
Certainly is. We haven't talked about this a lot this week, boys. The Wallabies are taking on South Africa 5 o'clock on Saturday night.
Another doubleheader, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, mighty Wallabies.
Mm. Yeah, well, they won last week by a couple of... in fact, I still think last week's game's going. It went that long.
28-26.
But that's at 5 o'clock. And really well done by Rugby Australia not to clash with the NRL semi. So that's why they're playing
Everyone's
the early
getting
game.
Along very well, aren't they, when they're scheduling their... their codes?
Well, given the numbers, the amount of people watch rugby at the moment, I think they're just happy.
They need it to.
Yeah, they need it to. So no surprises with the team. Badge, a really great player and commentator, is hanging up the microphone.
Whispering death. He's going to finish his commentary with Sky Sports. More than 30 years. So he started his commentary. This is Michael Holding, of course, the great West Indian fast bowler with that incredible smooth running style and bowling action. And just, I think he finished in the late 70s and or early 80s and picked straight away, went into commentary with Sky Sports. He said it's the time's just about up. So what do you reckon's better, Sats? His running and bowling action or his commentary?
His bowling action. I used to love watching him bowl. Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, do you remember last year, this was a really important moment in time for a lot of people, but it's him discussing racism last year.
Education is important unless we just want to continue living the life that we are living and continue just having demonstrations every now and again and a few people saying a few things. And when I say education, I mean going back in history. What people need to understand is that this thing stems from a long time ago, hundreds of years ago. The dehumanization of the black race is where it started. And people will tell you, oh, that's a long time ago, get over it. No, you don't get over things like that. And the society has not gotten over something like that. I'll skip all the gap between those long years ago and make one point and then go back, Wardy. That lady in the Central Park in New York, Amy Cooper, I think is her name. If she did not have in her DNA the thought process that she was white, this man is black, if I call a police officer, 9 times out of 10, he's going to be white. I'm going to be considered right immediately. The black guy will have to prove that he's not guilty. And by the time he proves that he's not guilty, he might be dead. She had that in her mind from day one. That is why she said and did what she did. How do you get rid of that in the society? By educating both sides, black and white.
Yeah, some strong words there.
Yeah, it was. Mm. Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Hey, just quickly on, Bryce Cartwright's battling turf toe. And listen to this. What? Should you use this as that's ridiculous or what? His skin has scarred to the point it's so thick that they can no longer get a needle to pierce through the skin to relieve the pain.
Oh, God.
Oh, yuck.
What's turf toe?
Yeah.
Turf toe's like, best way, a sprained big toe where it hyperextends all the way back. And
Hey, quickly, Glenn McGrath's urged Aussie cricket not to burden Paddy Cummins with the captaincy and if Tim Payne is injured for the Ashes and instead wants Steve Smith there. But I saw Adam Gilchrist come out and said he wants Paddy Cummins.
Yeah.
There's some mixed reactions there. Rightio, boys, let's get to this.
On Sports Day, it's time for the last laugh with Scott Sattler.
He says, I can't believe I just wandered in. He's coming right in. He's going to do a set after me.
The stage is yours, Sats.
Before we get to the joke, there's a really good text here. Badge Sats, we really enjoyed the interview with Pete Murray. He's a great bloke. Enjoyed Sam Burgess' interview too. It's really nice to listen to people involved rather than hearing opinions from secondhand media sites. Sean at Lennox. Yeah, thanks, Sean. Yeah, he's thanks, a really mate. Good guy. What happens when you boil a funny bone?
Don't know. It tastes funny. It
becomes a laughing stock.
Excellent.
We'll give it to him.
He made that up.
Yeah. Now you can listen to my song. Ron Quinn was the backup half to Peter Sterling for Parramatta from 83 to 86.
He was, Ron Quinn.
With 54% of the votes.
I got it.
Pete Murray. Our listeners loved him so much.
They voted.
They voted for him. Here he is. Have a great weekend, everybody. Catch you Monday night.
See ya.
In the backyard of a friend's place, thinking about you, thinking of the crowd you're in, what you're up to, where you've been, just thinking. You know the clothes that you wear and the color in your hair shouldn't change you. Now you tell me, why is it so? You're bigger than Mighty Joe. At least you think so. Got my fingers burned. Now when I think of touching your hair, you have changed so much that I don't know if I can call you and tell you I care. And I would love to bring you down and plant your feet back on. So young and sweet, always so much fun to me. At least I thought so. And now you think you're sorted.